Blog Talk Radio.
This program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Basically, the 1% of the motorcycle community who operates outside the law.
Their total focus is on hatred for the enemy. They have a policy of shoot or kill on sight if they can.
It's bullshit. Law enforcement just tries to paint this picture to the media and just cover up their bullshit, cover up their lies, and I just like to say fuck them. That's straight from Mike P. Jump on your bike, let's hit the road. Come on, fuck the 5-0, man, we out of country.
Hello.
Hello, how are you?
Good, how you doing?
Not too bad. We have a little person with us just for a short little bit until my daughter gets back. He's at my lab. Sorry.
Okay. That's alright. I'm going to pick up where I left off the other day. I'm going to let this guy talk about recording the police.
Oh, no, it's fine.
I'll give it a few minutes and then I'll be back.
Okay.
Beach. The chief prosecutor in the Anthony Graber case that David Ritgers was speaking about. So would you please welcome Joe Casale. You live stating my feeling about this, and that is that I am in favor of more of the ability to use cameras and to do audio taping in more situations than we currently allow. One of the things I think that's important to look at is that I believe that two-party consent laws are unduly intrusive into civil liberties, and that when we talk about the ability, these issues with filming police officers, we're pretty much always talking about them in states with two-party consent. We don't have this problem in states with one-party consent where the individual is a party to a conversation with anyone, law enforcement or anyone else, and he wants to record that conversation. We only run into these issues in two-party consent states where, for some unknown reason that I am unable to perceive, you have to, if you are the intended audience of remarks made by someone else, whether they're threatening you, whether they're trying to bribe you, you have to get their permission to record that conversation. And I think this is really what we need to focus on is, why are we making criminals of a huge number of people because they want to record a conversation that they are the intended audience of, okay? So this is what a two-party consent law accomplishes. And I'm against making criminals of people for no apparent reason or purpose that's out there. So I really hope that in pursuing the Anthony Graber case that I am focusing a spotlight on the state law of Maryland and calling for delegates and senators and those people that have been critical of what I have done here to really examine a state law which goes back to 1978 and predates things like miniature tape recorders, miniature cameras, cell phones, and all of the other things that we've developed in the meantime that allow us to do this recording. The other thing I want to make clear is that none of this impacts video recording. So that what Graber did with respect to the video recording portion of his helmet cam, and I think really I understand Mr. Graber may have some socially redeeming features which I think should be taken into account with respect to sentencing, but Mr. Graber was in a heavily traveled road approaching 100 miles an hour, popping wheelies on a motorcycle and putting everyone out there at risk. And the trooper that pulled him over is not some cowboy undercover man. The trooper that pulled him over was off duty. He was trying to make a dinner date with his family. But because Mr. Graber's actions so alarmed him to believe that this guy was going to create a serious fatal accident, he took action and was trying to talk a uniformed car into stopping Mr. Graber. Mr. Graber suddenly went off an exit ramp before the uniformed car got there, and the trooper saw this as his opportunity to stop Mr. Graber from continuing to create a serious risk to the people on the highway. So he pulled up. Now, Mr. Graber was aware that behind the trooper now, as the trooper, this trooper in his personal vehicle, pulls up and blocks Mr. Graber, that there is a uniform marked car with its lights on also coming up the ramp behind Mr. Graber. So when we point out the fact that this may have looked like a carjacking, all right, why you would jump out of your car and carjack some guy on a motorcycle, I'm not sure you're going to trade the car for the motorcycle. That doesn't make sense. But this is where we get into taking things out of context, and this is exactly what Mr. Graber created by posting his video, was that somehow this guy was some horrible, awful person who, with no concern, when his real concern was to prevent Mr. Graber from, you know, orphaning children or putting them in wheelchairs for the rest of their lives by the manner of his driving. To get away from the specifics of the case, which I think are still being litigated, my concern is that we are trying to justify the audio portion of the Graber piece by saying that, well, you can't have a private conversation in a public place. That's one argument. And I disagree with that. I think that it becomes, because if you say that, if you say that you can't have a private conversation in a public place, you have basically eliminated all protection from the wiretap statute, meaning that another third party who was not a party to the conversation could then record the conversation of two other people in a public place, okay? Because the Maryland wiretap statute says that you are protected by having to require the consent of a party if it's a private conversation. And if you say that any conversation that takes place in a public place is not a private conversation, then no conversation is protected from surreptitious listening devices. And give
basically what this is. Hello there. Are you just going to listen, or do you want to say something? 480. Okay, what I'm going to do is go back to this, but what this is the details about recording the police, when you can and when you can't.
And given the size of, you know, cell phones and whatever, you could wiretap, intercept the conversation of a couple sitting at a sidewalk cafe, you know, discussing their divorce terms or their child custody or something like this, okay? You could intercept the conversation of, you know, anyone who does not surround themselves by four walls who wants to sit on a park bench and have a conversation. You would deprive them from protection from third parties intercepting their conversation. So I'm not in favor of that. I'm not in favor of completely surrendering any kind of protections, okay? The other argument is that, well, police officers in uniform, which the officer in Graber wasn't, okay, but the police officers in uniform should have no ability to have private conversations with people when they are having their official duties. Well, that's all well and good if you are a party to that conversation and you want to record it. I'm in favor of that. As a matter of fact, I'm in favor not just of recording police officers doing their official duties. I'm in favor of recording senators, congressmen, county executives, all these other people You know, I mean, I would, many of the time have I been before some House member of the House of Delegates getting assurances from them that they would support my legislation, only to find out later they voted against it. I would be grateful to have a video or an audio of that assurance that they would vote in favor of my legislation to play right after they voted against it, but that's something else. But let's say that I'm a police officer and I respond to an accident scene, and I'm trying to get information from a person who is trapped inside of a car about their medical condition, about their medical, you know, are they diabetic, are they on medication, what can I do for them until we can get them out of this accident, until we can get them cut out of the car. And I find out that the person who caused the accident, after speaking to their lawyer on the phone, is standing there recording my conversation with this person who's trapped in the car. Now, I brought up the fact that the police officer should be able to interview witnesses to shootings or who don't want to be involved in, constantly we have the problem of, you know, witnesses who don't want to get involved, who didn't see anything, who didn't hear anything, and we have to encourage them, pull them off to the side in order to talk to them. If we suddenly find out that a police officer can no longer have private conversations with these people off to the side, that anyone may intercept this because these are not private conversations, we'll have an almost impossible job in getting witnesses to talk to us. And this sort of blanket denying officers to have any sort of private conversation will interfere with law enforcement, will interfere with our ability to enforce the law. So I...
Basically, what this guy, he's giving a synopsis on how to do it and when to do it. So once he's done, I'll come back.
So I think that we need to be careful here between, you know, throwing the baby out with the bathwater and saying, well, we're you know, they can never have private conversations. They're in uniform, right? In the Graber case, people will say, what's the harm? And my response is, well, the Maryland courts have made, or the Maryland legislature, at least in my reading of the statute, have made this against the law if the officer reasonably believes that he's having a private conversation with someone for them to intercept it without his permission. All right? And the response is, well, don't the police have cameras on their car that they audiotape people? And the answer is yes. As a matter of fact, the Maryland legislature specifically went back and amended the Maryland wiretap law to allow police officers to audiotape those types of encounters. They limit when that audiotape can be used. They specify that the officer must advise the person whose conversations he is recording that he is being audio and video recorded so that the person is aware of it, okay? So there is permission to do this, but there are also restrictions on how they can do it and what they're going to do. I would be perfectly happy and hope that Maryland would become a one-party consent state, in which case Mr. Graber's audio taping of a police officer would in fact be legal because Mr. Graber would be a party to the conversation. But it wouldn't allow third parties to record a conversation between Mr. Graber and the police officer if neither one of them were aware of it or if neither one of them consented to it, okay? I do believe that the police themselves have a misunderstanding of what the law allows, okay? I do think that when we look at the videos, for example, the PG County video, I don't think anybody can claim that that recording was a private conversation. You can't stand in a crowd and scream at somebody and claim that you were thinking you were having a private conversation. I think the same thing with a videotape of the Pimlico audio tape. There's nothing there that would suggest that you could be in a crowd and say that you were having a private conversation. But again, part of this gets back to, I think, that the law is confusing, that the police don't have a clear understanding of what taping is allowed and what is not allowed.
Ain't that the truth? We'll get into that in a minute.
Not allowed. I mean, I think that the Maryland statute made things like, you know, Linda Tripp was prosecuted for what she did, and she was a party to the conversation. There was a question about the people that went into the Acorn office and did recording in the Acorn office, and about whether or not their audio taping of that was a violation of the Maryland wiretap statute. So I am against, I mean, I feel that statute is in for a major overhaul, and that I seriously think that, you know, we need to do this. I've had instances where, and this is one of the problems, if someone makes an audio tape of a criminal act, that it can't be used by the prosecutor in evidence because the Maryland wiretap statute has a built-in exclusionary rule that says if someone audio tapes something that is a violation, it can't be used in court. So, in fact, I've had instances where an audio tape was made of someone being solicited to commit a crime and the criminal actually explaining to them how they can commit the crime. And it couldn't be used in evidence because the court ruled that the criminal thought he was doing this in private and that he didn't consent to his criminal activities being audio taped, and therefore the prosecutor could not introduce that into evidence. Okay, I've had an instance where a woman audio taped a boyfriend sexually assaulting her minor daughter, and that was the proof of that, and we couldn't use that because, of course, that violated the Maryland wiretap statute. So I think that, you know, there's a lot of inconsistent and sort of, in some instances, ridiculous results coming out of the current law, and it needs to be looked at. But frankly, folks, if it were not for my prosecution of Mr. Graber, we wouldn't be having this conversation about the Maryland wiretap statute. No one would be looking at it. You can't change bad law by ignoring it or not making a point of it. You can only change a bad law by demonstrating to the people that look at it, is this the result you want? Thank you.
What do you think of that?
Unbelievable. I'm sorry, I had muted the phone for a little bit. He wasn't fussy. I just... excuse me. It was just making his little baby noises, and I didn't want to interrupt the video.
That's cool.
But his mom is home, so everything's okay.
Okay. There's a guy named Steve Silverman, and he's written this article, and it's called mm-hmm. Seven Rules for Recording the Police. Now, anybody listening that wants to call in, the number's 347-826-7753. And what I'm going to do here is I'm going to read the seven reasons to you. If anybody has any questions.
Wait until after.
Huh?
Wait until after you're done reading.
Or, yeah, there's seven rules. So after each rule, I'll see if there's any questions.
Okay.
Right? But slowly but surely, the courts are recognizing that recording on-duty police is protected First Amendment activity. But in the meantime, police around the country continue to intimidate and arrest citizens for doing just that. So if you're an aspiring cop watcher, you must be uniquely prepared to deal with hostile cops. If you choose to record the police, you can reduce the risk of terrible legal consequences and video loss by understanding your state's laws and carefully adhering to the following rules. I got a link here for the laws in 38 states. I'm going to put that in the chat room right now.
Is my state included? Do you know offhand? Because
I know,
last
I didn't know,
year...
I didn't
I'm
know
sorry,
if you listed.
Okay. No, because last year I saw, you know, I witnessed the pullover, had the canines out and everything. I was standing there taking photos. You know, nobody seemed to pay attention, but because I, how they did it, I don't know if it was somebody that they were trying to get the pole over in a spot where it was feasible, you know. But yeah, they just ripped through this person's SUV, and I was staying there, snap, 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 and then a friend of mine, he, you know, you can't do that. I'm like, really? Huh? Okay. And walked away.
Well, you can reduce the risk of consequences, legal consequences of video loss by understanding your state's laws, carefully adhering to the following rules. Rule number one, know the law wherever you are. Conceived at a time when pocket-sized recording devices were available only to James Bond types, most eavesdropping laws were originally intended to protect people against snoops, spies, and bombs. Now, with this technology in the hands of average citizens, police and prosecutors are abusing those outdated laws to punish citizens merely attempting to document on-duty police. The law in 38 states plainly allows citizens to record police as long as you don't physically interfere with their work. Remember what I said here. Don't physically interfere with their work.
Right.
Police might still unfairly harass you, detain you, or confiscate your camera. They might even arrest you for some catch-all misdemeanor, which is obstruction. Okay. For some catch-all misdemeanor such as obstruction of justice or disorderly conduct. But you will not be charged for illegally recording the police. 12 states. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, 12 states are California, Connecticut, Florida, Illinois, Maryland, Massachusetts, Michigan, Montana, Nevada, New Hampshire, Pennsylvania, and Washington require the consent of all parties for you to record a conversation. However, all but two of these states, Massachusetts and Illinois, have an expectation of privacy provision, which they changed, I think, 2 years ago. There are all the party laws that courts have ruled does not apply to on-duty police or anyone in public. In other words, it's technically legal in those 48 states to openly record on-duty police. Number two, rule number two. Well, anybody got any questions for rule number one?
Well, like I said, I didn't go and do anything with the photos. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, I did delete them out, but, you know, like I said, I was just, wow. Some things, it's like you don't believe unless you see it, you know. And I just sat there, it's like snap, snap, a couple of pics, you know, and I'm looking, I'm like, geez, you know. But like I said, I had no knowledge of it, but when you're done with this, I'll tell you something new that's in my state that will really freak you out. Okay, go ahead.
All right. Hello, Eunice.
Hey.
Hi, Eunice.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
What's going on?
We're talking about recording.
Go ahead.
We're talking about the legality of recording the police.
Oh, yeah.
If you want, I'll just... muted, then you can ask some questions. I'm going to read the next. You can ask some questions if you want.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
Rule number two, don't secretly record the police. In most states, it's almost always illegal to record a conversation in which you're not a party and don't have consent to record. Massachusetts is the only state to have a conviction for recording on-duty police. But that conviction was secret recording. That was
secret recording.
Where the defendant failed to inform police he was recording. As in the Glick case, Massachusetts courts have ruled that openly recording police is legal, but secretly recording them isn't. Fortunately, judges and juries are soundly rejecting these laws. Illinois is the state with the most notorious anti-recording laws in the land, expressly forbids you from recording on-duty police. Early last month, Illinois judge declared the law unconstitutional, ruling in favor of Chris Drew, a Chicago artist charged with felony eavesdropping for secretly recording his own arrest. Last August, the jury acquitted Tawanda Moore of secretly recording two Chicago Police Internal Affairs investigators who encouraged her to drop a sexual harassment complaint against another officer. The jury described the case to reporter as a waste of time. In September, an Illinois judge dropped felony charges against Michael Allison after running afoul of local zoning ordinances. He faced up to 75 years in prison for secretly recording the police and attempting to tape his own trial. The lesson for you is this. If you want to limit your legal exposure and present a strong legal case, record police openly if possible. But if you videotape on-duty police from a distance, such as an announcement, might not be possible or appropriate unless police approach you.
So what I did was against the law.
Well, yeah, basically.
I mean, like I said, it's not that anybody saw him. I just looked at it real quick and then, you know, deleted him on my phone, but I didn't know.
Well, let me tell you what happened to me.
Go ahead.
There was a sign posted on the street, and I knew it, you know, but I have been going up the street before 9 o'clock, from 7 to 9, you're not supposed to go up the street. So it was like 5 minutes of 9, and I turned the corner to go up the street, and there was a policeman up on top of the hill with about 4 cars. So I turned the car around. You know, I drove into the first driveway and did a U-ey and went back out. And do you know that cop chased me down?
Is that the one that gave you a ticket?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Imagine that.
Yeah.
Never had a moving violation. And I had all these points, you know, for the insurance and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And do you know, he had to check that out. And he still gave me the friggin' ticket. Now, we just got our insurance, and they didn't take the points or anything away from me, but maybe they'll do it next year?
Mm-hmm.
You think so?
Yeah, if you don't get another ticket.
What do you mean? If I don't get another ticket, they won't take the points away?
No, if you get another ticket, they'll double the points.
Oh, you're kidding me. Jesus. Well, you know I'm not going to get another ticket. God forbid.
Isn't that what you said about the first one?
Yeah, I know it. I know. Imagine that, though. 71, I never got a ticket. A moving violation. Oh, well, I guess we all learn, huh?
Yeah.
Well, I got a phone call today.
Yeah.
And Carmen Dursel, who was the lawyer that helped write up this bill, went and met with Senator Brownsberger.
Uh-huh.
And he said that it will be passed not this coming week, but the following week, just before Christmas.
Uh-huh.
I had made some more phone calls and said, I'm sure the news media will really love to hear that you passed a law to protect dogs in an abusive relationship, but you
right.
haven't passed a law to protect our children.
Right.
I said, so I'm sure the media will really love this. So Carmen called me and he says, they said, please, Eunice, don't do anything. We promise it's going to be passed. I said, well, I better get a phone call from him telling me it's going to be passed. I says, we're going to the news media. I says, we've already sent letters, you know, emails out. So we'll just see what happens if I don't get a phone call next week. You know, I mean, I'm still pursuing, you know, Dr. Phil.
Right.
So he gives me a call, I'm still going to go on it.
Okay.
So who's going to be embarrassed?
Yeah.
But I also put a call into the governor because he's the one that pulled the bill out. And,
okay.
And Steve Brewer, who is a top senator, and is also my husband's first cousin. So I made these phone calls today, and I'm sure I'll hear from them tomorrow.
Perfect.
You know, so.
Let me get back to this. Rule number two. Respond to the shit cops say. When it comes to police encounters, you don't get to choose whom you're dealing with. You might not get officer friendly, or you might get officer psycho. You'll likely get officers between these extremes, but when you watch the watchman, you must be ready to think on your feet. In most circumstances, officers will not immediately bull rush you for filming them, but if they aren't properly trained, they may feel like their authority is being challenged, and all too often, police are simply ignorant of the law. Part of their task will be to convince them that you're not a threat while also standing your ground when they say, what are you doing? Police aren't celebrities, so they're not always used to being photographed in public. So even if you're recording at a safe distance, they might approach and ask what you're doing. Avoid saying things like, I'm recording you to make sure you're doing your job right. Don't trust you. Instead, say something like, officer interfering. I'm asserting my First Amendment rights. You're being documented and recorded off-site. Saying this while remaining calm and cool will likely put police at their best behavior. They may follow up by asking, who do you work for? You may, for example, tell them you're an independent filmmaker or a citizen journalist with a popular website, blog, or YouTube show. Whatever you say, don't lie, but don't let the police trick you into thinking that First Amendment only applies to mainstream media journalists. It doesn't. They say, let me see your ID. In the United States, there's no law requiring you to carry a government ID. Everybody hear that? There's no law in the United States that says you have an ID.
So you mean to tell me if you're asked to show ID, that doesn't mean you have to have it on your person. It's not a law requiring to have it on your person.
There's no law requiring you to carry. That's on your purse.
Okay.
Right? But in 24 states, they may require you to identify yourself if they have reasons that you're involved in criminal activity. How can you tell if an officer has reasonable suspicion? They need reasonable suspicion to detain you. So one way to tell if they have reasonable suspicion, determine if you're free to go. You can do this by saying, but you can tell an officer that's when you have suspicion, they have reason suspicion is determine if you're free to go. You can do this by saying, officer, are you detaining me or am I free to go? If the officer says you're free to go but not being detained, it's your choice whether to stay or go. But if you're detained, you might say something, I'm not required to show you an ID, but my full name is. It's up to you to want to provide your address and date of birth, password, but stop short of giving them your social security number. Not in the chat room right now. Please stop recording me. It's against the law. Rarely is it advisable to educate officers about the law, but in a tense recording situation where the law is clearly on your side, it might help your case to politely present your knowledge of the state law. For example, if an insecure cop tries to tell you you're violating his civil liberties, you might respond by saying, officer, with all due respect, state law only requires permission from one party in a conversation. I don't need your permission to record so long as I'm not interfering with your work. If you live in one of the 12-party, all-party record states, you might say something like, officer, I'm familiar with the law, but the courts have ruled that it doesn't apply to recording on-duty police. If protective service officers harass you while you're filming on federal property, you might remind them of a recently issued directive informing that there's no prohibition against public photography at federal buildings. I had an issue with this. I don't know if you guys know Randy Twelves from Quick Throttle. But she was down at the VA in San Diego trying to take some pictures, and she got rat-packed by a bunch of security guards. They almost took her camera. But when they found out she was right, they left her alone. Stand back. If you're approaching the scene of an investigation or an accident, police will likely order you to move back. Depending on the circumstances, you might become involved in an intense negotiation to determine the appropriate distance you need to stand back to avoid interfering with the work. Goes along the lines of what you wrote, Art. If you're approaching the scene or investigation, let's see. I'm filming for documents. Well, if you feel you're already standing at a reasonable distance, you may say something like, "Officer, I have a right to be here. I'm filming for documentation purposes and not interfering with your work." It's then up to you to decide how far back you're willing to stand to avoid arrest. You understand that, Nora?
Yeah, I understand. So do you have to say, if you state that you're just doing it for documentation purpose and you're not doing anything to jeopardize whatever their situation is, will that get you by, or will they try and check to see if you're actually legit or not?
Yeah, but it's like you said, it's up to you to figure out how far you need to be back.
Right. Okay.
Draw your line in the sand. Okay. Rule number four is share your video with the police. If you capture a video of police misconduct or brutality, but otherwise avoid being identified yourself, you can anonymously upload it to YouTube. This seems to be the safest legal option. For example, a Massachusetts woman who videotaped a cop beating a motorist with a flashlight posted the video to the internet. Afterwards, one of the cops caught at the scene filed criminal wiretapping charges against her. As usual, the charges against her were later dropped. On the other hand, an anonymous videographer uploaded footage of an NYPD officer body slamming a man on a motorcycle to YouTube. Although the videographer was never revealed, the video went viral. Consequently, the manufacturer's assault charges against the bicyclist were dropped, the officer was fired, and the bicyclist eventually sued the city and won $65,000 settlement.
That was in Mass?
Yes. And the other one was in New York.
Mm-hmm.
So we go to Keene, New Hampshire now. Prepare to be arrested, rule number five. Dave Ridley is an avatar of the new breed of journalist, activist, filmmaker, testing the limits of the First Amendment right to record police. Over the past few years, he's uploaded the most impressive collection of first-person police encounter videos I've ever seen. Ridley's calm demeanor and knowledge of the law paid off last August when he was arrested for trespassing in an event featuring Vice President Joe Biden. The arresting officers at his trial claimed he refused to leave in order to do so, but the judge acquitted him when his confiscated video proved otherwise. With respect to the law, Ridley declares, "If you're rolling the camera, be very open and upfront about it, and look at the potential act of civil disobedience for which you could go to jail. It's indeed disturbing that citizens who are not breaking the law should be prepared to be arrested. Current legal fog, this is sage advice. Same with, shut up, shut it off, I'll arrest you. At this point, you're risking arrest in order to test the boundaries of speech. So if the police say they'll arrest you, believe them. You may comply by saying something like, 'Okay, officer, but I'm turning the camera off under protest.' If you keep recording, brace yourself for arrest. Try your best not to drop your camera, but do not physically resist. As with any arrest, you have to remain silent until you speak with a lawyer. Use it, or you have the right to remain silent, so use it. Remember that the camera might still be recorded. Keep calm and act like you're being judged by a jury of millions of YouTube peers, because one day you might be." And that. Okay. All right, rule number six, master your technology. Hang on a minute. Let me do this and I'll be right back. I got a little trouble with the screens here. Be right back. right. Well, thank you, Blue, for that. I don't know. Sending me that email. So you understand about your smartphone?
Yes.
What do you understand?
I understand that it's encrypted, and I don't... If anything were to happen,
uh-huh.
You know, well, there's lots of things I can do. Smash it. You know, I don't care. My stuff is backed up. It's encrypted. I'm not worried about it. They're not going to get in. I don't have anything incriminating on my phone, but it doesn't matter because you don't have to have anything incriminating. It could just be, you know, it could be a person. They don't care. They'll figure out something.
That's right, because with the iPhone and Samsung Galaxy Android devices I tested, when the phone is turned off, the Quick app immediately stops recording and uploads the video off-site. But if the phone is turned off while Bambowser is recording, recording continues after the screen goes black. This Bambowser blackout feature is a double-edged sword. While it could easily trick cops into thinking you're not recording them, using it pushing them more dangerous illegal territory. As previously mentioned, courts have shown willingness to convict the recording to police. So if you're somehow caught using this feature, it might be easier for a prosecutor to convince a judge or a jury that you've broken the law. It's up to you to decide the increased legal risk is worth the potential to capture incriminating police footage. Your other recording options are cameras lacking off-site recording capability, a less desirable option. As mentioned earlier, if cops delete or destroy your footage, which happens way too often, you might lose your only hope of challenging their visions in court. But if you can hold on to your camera, there are some good options. There's a guy named Carlos Miller. He's a Miami-based journalism activist and writer of the popular Photography Is Not a Crime blog. Okay, I'm going to put his link up in the chat room. Right there. If you want to go to his, he does a lot of very intense stuff you can learn from if you watch what he does. He carries a professional and Canon AX-10 in the field. He says, I never leave home without a flip camera on a belt pouch. It's a very decent camera. It's easy to carry around. The top-of-the-line flip Ultra HD starts at $178, but earlier models are available for $60 on Amazon. All flip models have one button recording, which allows you to pull it out of your pocket and shoot within seconds. The built-in USB then lets you upload the video to YouTube or other sharing sites through your PC. Small businessman and radical technology educator Justin Holmes recommends the Canon S Series line of cameras. In 2008, his camera captured a police encounter he had while rollerblading in Port Dickinson, New York. Provides an outstanding real-life example of calm camera-toting citizen can intelligently flex their rights. I typically carry a Canon S5 LS, Holmes says, but if I was going to buy one new, I'd go for the SX40 HS. If I were on a budget and buying one used, I'd go for the S2 IS or the S3 IS. This feature he regards an essential include one-touch video, high-quality stereo condenser microphones, fast zooming during video, and a 180 by 270 vertical angle LCD. But the last feature regards is absolutely essential, with it is the user can glance at the viewfinder while the camera is below or above eye level. We lost Eunice. Rule number 7. Oh. Don't point your camera like a gun. But when you were filming those guys, how did you hold your camera, Nora?
Okay, well, you know, the way your cell phones are, I just held it like in my hand where it was showing north and south, you know what I mean? And just held it and hit the button. You know, I think I took like 3 photos. But anyways, yeah, I was just holding it like that, so it wasn't like holding the gun. You know what I mean? I know the difference.
Well, when filming police, you always want to avoid an aggressive posture. To do this, he keeps his strapped supported camera close to his body at waist level. This way, he can hold a conversation while maintaining eye contact with police, quickly glancing at the viewfinder to make sure he's getting a good shot. Obviously, those recording with smartphone lack a single viewfinder, but you can get a satisfactory shot while holding your device at waist level and tilting it upward a few degrees. So you have to practice. Posture might feel awkward at first, but noticeably less confrontational than holding between you and the officer's face. Also, try to be in control of your camera before an officer approaches. You want to avoid suddenly grasping for it. If a cop thinks you reach for a gun, you could get shot. And don't become a hero. If you've recently been arrested or charged with a crime after recording police, contact a lawyer with your state's ACLU chapter for advice as soon as possible. But do not publicly upload your video before then. You may also contact Flex Your Rights, and I'll put that in the chat room right now. If your case is strong, the ACLU might offer to take it on as a litigant. You accept your brave stand could forever change the way police treat citizens. If you accept your brave stand, you could forever change the way treat citizens asserting their First Amendment right to record police. This is a task not for fools, and it might disrupt your life, but next time you see police in action, don't forget that a powerful tool for truth and justice may literally be in your hands. Let me put this down here for this too. This is this guy's other links. Okay. So we're gonna go to, let's see. One is called Officer, Am I Free to Go?
Unless you're detained or arrested, you may terminate the encounter at any time, but don't wait for the officer to dismiss you. Simply ask if you're free to go.
Darren, those dogs are going to rip apart your car, and they're going to find what you're hiding. Like I said, what's it gonna be? Officer, are you detaining me or am I free to go?
Good. This line can help withdraw you from an encounter. Saying you want to leave establishes that the encounter is not voluntary, which could help you later if you end up in court. Let's practice that line. Everyone repeat after me. Are you detaining me or am I free to go?
Are you detaining me or am I free to go?
One more time.
Are you detaining me?
All right. You want to play it like that? You want to bump it up to the next level? Fine. You stay right here. Don't go anywhere.
Asserting your rights won't make the police love you, but it might make them extra cautious about violating your rights.
Darren, this is a citation for excessive lane changing. Take care of that as soon as possible.
Thank you, officer.
And this is the one that, what if I refuse, but police search me anyway?
I understand refusing a search doesn't make me guilty, but if I'm doing nothing wrong, why don't you just let the police search me and get it done with?
You have the right to let police search you. You also have the right to refuse. The choice is yours. But there are some reasons to think carefully about this. The officer isn't your butler. Searches can get real messy. If they damage anything, you might not be compensated because you agreed to the search. Besides, you never know for sure what a careless person, relative, friend, previous owner might have left in your car or something. If the police find any illegal items after you consent to a search request, you can be arrested even if you had nothing to do with it.
You have the right to
consenting to a search request automatically makes the search legal in the eyes of the law. And the Fourth Amendment doesn't require officers to tell you about your right to refuse. So if you're
which is, this one is, our police law to lie to me.
Now, I don't want to see you go to jail, but you got to be smart. You take my advice, I'll be able to help you out.
Don't believe a word of it. Officers are not there to act as your advocate. Their job is to find, arrest, and help convict you. So ask for a real lawyer and shut up. Remember, you are not required to answer police questions without the assistance of a lawyer.
This one is how to refuse a police search.
You don't have anything to hide, do you?
No, officer. I don't consent to any searches, sir.
This could be one of the most important lines you may ever have to deliver in your entire life.
I don't consent to any searches, sir.
Darryl remains courteous, but is not intimidated by this all-too-common tactic.
If dogs find anything you're not supposed to have, I'm going to throw your ass in a jail cell overnight with some very bad men who would love to do some very bad things to two skinny boys like you two. Do you understand your choice?
Your rights do not disappear just because an officer threatens to call in the dogs. And refusing a search does not give the officer the legal right to search or detain you.
And this one is, what if I refuse, but please search me anyway?
If an officer searches you illegally and finds contraband, despite your refusal to consent, your lawyer can file a motion to suppress or throw out the evidence in court. If the judge agrees that the officer's search violated your constitutional rights, he'll grant the motion to suppress. Your charges would then be dismissed, and you'd be free to go.
You know, if it's okay to say something real quick, my nephew went through something similar to that when he was, just before he was 18, he was working at a local video store, and he was the late shift, which put him at closing up, marking it all up and everything, you know. And the worst thing about it was, there was a guy that had the same, almost like the similar jacket of what my nephew did. So after when my nephew locked up everything for the night, came home, all of a sudden it was about 2 o'clock in the morning. He was living with me at the time. The police are at the door. And like, you know, what's going on? And, they're like, the person that has this vehicle is the person here. I said, yes, he is. I said, what is the problem? And they're like, well, we'd like to talk to him. I said, then you stay here. I'll go get him. I made them stay on the porch. And so I went and I got my nephew. And so they're like, well, we'd like to talk to him alone. I said, he is in my care. He resides in my home. I am here. And
okay.
So, you know, another employee robbed the video store, long story short. They tried to link it to my nephew, And they sat there and, well, this is what can happen to you if you don't tell us everything that happened. I sat there. I said, wait a minute here. He hasn't done nothing. Well, we have him on camera. I said, then where is the film? Where is it for us to see? He's underage. He's not an adult. And he's in my care. Needless to say, they wanted to search his car and search his belongings. And he's like, you can search whatever you want. I have nothing to hide. And I sat there. I said, wait a minute. This is my home. You have to have my permission to come in my home. I'm not giving it. They took my nephew down.
All right, here, listen. Refusing police entry to your home.
And she takes advantage of the all-important people. Upon seeing the officers, Valerie greets them outside and closes the door behind her.
What seems to be the problem? We just need to do a required routine check. Now, if everything's okay inside, could you go ahead and let us take a look?
Everything's under control, officers. Look, I know you're both just doing your jobs, but without a search warrant, I can't let you inside.
Again.
Without a search warrant, I can't let you inside.
You hear that?
And she takes advantage of the all-important people. Upon seeing the officers...
What seems to be the problem? We just need to do a required routine check. Now, if everything's okay inside, could you go ahead and let us take a look?
Everything's under control, officers. Look, I know you're both just doing your jobs, but without a search warrant, I can't let you inside.
Again.
Without a search warrant, I can't let you inside.
Okay, here's another one. Here's another one for you.
See, this is how they get you. Police come knocking at your door saying, hey there, we've got a new safety program. Can we search your home? Hell no. You don't have to let them in. Even if the police have probable cause, the Fourth Amendment requires them to get a signed search warrant from a judge to enter and search your home. Unless there's a serious emergency, they can't come in without a search warrant. But they don't need a warrant if you invite them in. When the officers came knocking, Karen could have talked to them outside and closed the door behind her.
Good afternoon, officers. How can I help you?
The chain lock works fine, too.
Who is it?
Police department.
Good afternoon, officers. How can I help you?
Hi, ma'am. Do you mind if we come in for a moment?
Do you have a warrant? What is this about?
No, my name is Officer Smith. This is Officer Jones.
We're introducing ourselves to the tenants as part of a new home safety program. Mind if we come in?
No, thank you. I can't let you in without a warrant.
Again?
I can't let you in without a warrant.
That is your decision, ma'am. But this is just a public safety check. We're not here to get anyone in trouble.
I understand, but I need to see a warrant before letting you folks inside.
Well, ma'am, you have my card if you need anything. Have a nice day.
Take care.
We're clear.
If police come to your door and you don't need their help, you may simply decline to answer the door. Because you don't have to let them in unless they have a search warrant.
Well, letting them in opens up a whole different box. You know what I mean?
Well,
not that you're hiding anything.
You never let them in.
I know.
All right. Now, this is what if they threaten to call in the dogs?
Now, if you don't, I'm going to call up a K-9 unit, and those dogs are going to rip apart your car. They're going to find what you're hiding. So what's it going to be?
Refusing a search request is not evidence of guilt. and doesn't give the officer the legal right to search or detain you. Don't get tricked. Unless you're detained or arrested, you may terminate the encounter at any time, but don't wait for the officer to dismiss you. Simply ask if you're free to go.
There, and those dogs are going to rip apart your car, and they're going to find what you're hiding. Like I said, what's it going to be?
Officer, are you detaining me, or am I free to go?
Good. This line can help withdraw you from an encounter. Saying you want to leave establishes that the encounter is not voluntary, which could help you later if you end up in court. Let's practice that line. Everyone repeat after me. Are you detaining me, or am I free to go?
Are you detaining me or am I free to go?
One more time.
Are you detaining me or am I free to go?
All right. You want to play it like that? You want to bump it up to the next level? Fine. You stay right here. Don't go anywhere.
Asserting your rights won't make the police love you, but it might make them extra cautious about violating your rights.
And the best one of all is right here. Don't snitch on yourself.
Face forward. Sometimes people get in trouble for merely standing near others holding contraband or if it is found nearby.
Look what we have here.
Police may try to get you to snitch on yourself or on others, but remember that police may legally lie to you, so don't get tricked into waving your rights.
We know you bought this weed. That makes you part of a drug conspiracy. Now you give up your supplier, or else we're going to charge you as an accessory to drug trafficking.
I'm going to remain silent. I'd like to see a lawyer.
I'm going to remain silent. I'd like to see a lawyer. If you're being interrogated or you're under arrest, these magic words are your best legal protection. They're kind of like a legal condom. Say them with me.
I'm going to remain silent. I'd like to see a lawyer.
I see you dropped this, man. Just admit it's yours. It's a slap on the wrist. You make things difficult for me, and I'll charge you with possession and evidence tampering. That's a felony.
Don't get tricked. You know what to say. If police pressure you to snitch, you need a lawyer. Use the magic words.
Officer, I'm going to remain silent. I like to see a lawyer.
But remember, just because you ask for a lawyer doesn't mean they have to stop questioning. If you keep talking, your words might still be used against you, so shut your mouth until you've seen a lawyer.
Which is all true. I dealt with a lot of different things like that. You know, I had officers come up on my side of the property in my driveway they came with a tow truck. They wanted to tow, at the time, my brother's vehicle or impound it, you know, for a search. I came out and I said, what are you doing here? Do you have a warrant? No. Get off my property. Well, we want to look in the car. I said, it's on this side of the sidewalk. You're not touching it. That was the end of that.
All right. Here's one. This is what I want everybody to listen to. Listen to this. It's how to invoke your rights with the police.
No, ma'am. No, ma'am. Trespassing?
Oh, wait, hold what you got. Turn around.
For what, sir?
What's on your side?
For what?
What's on your side?
That is a handgun. That is a pistol.
No, I see your permit.
What permit?
LD.
What permit? What this permit?
Come here, let me talk to you.
I'm right here. My hand is out of my pocket.
Let me see some identification.
What kind of identification?
I'm going to see
you
driving
flight. Am I operating a motor vehicle right now? Am I required to have any identification?
You're in a hangar, yes, sir. Look at state law. Yes, sir. I need to see identification.
There is no state law that says that.
Let me see identification.
There, you are mistaken.
How old are you?
You are mistaken.
Let me see.
What's the nature of your inquiry?
We'll see your identification.
What's the nature of the inquiry?
How old you are. Carrying a weapon out here. How old are you?
Do you have any reason? Or are you investigating me right now? Am I being detained?
I know.
Am
Am I being detained? Am I being detained right now? Am I being detained? Am I being detained? Am I under arrest or am I being detained? Am I under arrest or being detained? I'm recording it, and this is going live to the internet right now, so there's a record of it. When I saw him get in the car, I got out. This is going live to the internet, so they try to, you know, take the phone or anything. It's already a record of it.
I was invited to give you a taste of a typical law school classroom experience here today, and I thought I would take advantage of this opportunity to do something that's been on my mind for a while, to stand up and to proudly say, God bless America, God bless the Bill of Rights, and thank God for the Fifth Amendment. I'm not ashamed to say I'm proud of the Fifth Amendment, and I'm proud to admit on camera and on the Internet that I will never talk to any police officer under any circumstances, with all due respect, sir. I'm doing something really extraordinary here today, something you'll almost never see another law professor do as long as you live. I'm really putting myself on the spot here. This was my idea. By my invitation, I have given up half of my time, approximately. I'm giving equal time and the last word to an expert who really knows something about what I'll be talking about. So I'm opening myself up to the possibility that he will contradict me. I was a criminal defense attorney when I was in private practice. So I want to make sure, in fairness to you, if I'm misleading you or giving you a slanted or one-sided presentation, you'll be able to get the last word from somebody else. I'm sure he'll have a lot to teach all of us, including myself. The Fifth Amendment to the United States Constitution provides, no person shall be compelled in any criminal case to be a witness against himself. And this unfortunate amendment has gotten a bad rap in recent times, much of it tragically and unnecessarily through, as you may have heard, the headlines. There was a recent Regent Law School graduate who was in all the news for a couple of weeks. She was an outstanding former student of mine, and she really got quite a lot of undeserved flack for the fact that she chose to exercise her right to remain silent when the Senate wanted to ask her certain questions that arguably might have tended to incriminate her. All of the world was aghast. The Christian community in particular looked at this and said, how could a Christian do such a thing? How could a Christian take the Fifth Amendment? And I said, you go, girlfriend. I do the same thing. I'll do it every time. And I want to talk to you about why that's true, but first a quick listening test. Let me read to you something that was taken out of the newspaper this morning, and I want you to listen to it closely. And I'm giving you a heads up. I'm warning you in advance, which is not fair to you. Not fair to me, but I'm giving you a warning that I'll be quizzing you on this in just a few minutes. This will test your aptitude for legal study and legal practice. Listen closely. It won't take long. Last night, agents of the Norfolk Police Department found three victims of an apparent murder dead in an apartment in the East Ocean View area, the apparent victims of a gangland-style slaying, and possibly the victims of gang-related violence. The police are investigating this as a possible murder and suicide, but right now suspect that the three were all killed by the same individual. No suspects have yet been identified, but veteran police detective George Brook has confirmed the police are following up on evidence pointing to the possible involvement of an off-duty naval officer as the perpetrator. The bodies, which were found by the apartment manager at about 8 o'clock in the morning, appear to have been slain sometime earlier in the same evening, probably sometime between midnight and 2 o'clock in the morning. That's it. Those are all the facts I'll ask you to remember, and it won't be for very long either. Let's see how well you do. I'll be quizzing you in just a few minutes. Now, here's the easiest question you'll ever get from a client in all the days of your life. Question, hey, the police are here. They want to talk to me. What should I do? Well, I could give you my answer to that question in case you haven't already guessed it, but why don't we go to a real expert, Justice Robert Jackson, a prosecutor's prosecutor. Like me, he began his private practice in Buffalo, New York, years before I did, and after that he served as general counsel for the Bureau of Internal Revenue, the U.S. Department of Treasury, the Security and Exchange Commission, assistant U.S. Attorney General for the Tax Division, later the Solicitor General and the Attorney General of the United States, and then the chief U.S. prosecutor for the Nuremberg trials. That's an impressive resume. Years later, when he was a justice on the Supreme Court, Justice Jackson stated, quote, any lawyer worth his salt, today we would say his or her, will tell the suspect, his client, in no uncertain terms to make no statement to the police under any circumstances. There's the title of my talk. I will explain to you the surprising and somewhat counterintuitive and admittedly unlikely reasons why Justice Jackson was right. I'm reminded of this because I'm amazed, we're all amazed, by the frequency with which we see newspaper articles coming out all the time from people who really ought to know better, who say, well, I'll talk to the police. I mean, after all, I'm a senator. I'm O.J. Simpson. I'm an experienced, highly polished individual. I've got a lot of experience with public relations, even criminal defense attorneys. There was a local news story here in the Virginia Pilot just a couple of months ago about an experienced criminal defense lawyer who ended up getting convicted of criminal assault because he talked to the police. He was accused of having assaulted another attorney in the hallway. There were no other witnesses to this. A woman said that he grabbed her by the throat during an argument over a case. He denied it. At trial, it was his word against hers. He said, I did not even touch her. But unfortunately for him, when the police had approached him earlier and said, would you be willing to answer some questions? He said, sure, why not? I'm an attorney. I'm a criminal defense attorney. I'm savvy. I'm sophisticated. I've got oratorical prowess. I'm accustomed to dealing with the police, by all means. And then there was a conversation that was not recorded. When the case went to trial, it was no longer his word against hers, because when he testified at trial, I never touched her. Officer took her to the stand and touched her. He said he did put his hand on her throat, but just as a joke. Then he had to take the stand again and say, that's not true. I never said that. I never admitted to you that I... Now it's his word against two people. Who's telling the truth? We'll never know for sure. But he was found guilty. Now, here's part of the problem. The heart of the problem, as Justice Breyer on the U.S. Supreme Court explained in 1998, is, quote, the complexity of modern federal criminal law, codified in several thousand sections of the United States Code, and the virtually infinite variety of factual circumstances that might trigger an investigation into a possible violation of the law, make it difficult for anyone to know in advance just when a particular set of statements might later appear to a prosecutor to be relevant to some investigation. One expert on criminal law recently noted that estimates of the current size of the body of federal criminal law vary, although it has been reported that the Congressional Research Service can no longer even count the current number of federal crimes. That's right. Even the federal government has lost count. These laws are scattered over all 50 pages of the U.S. Code, 27,000 pages. Worse yet, these statutes often incorporate by reference the provisions of administrative regulations. Estimates of how many such regulations exist are even less well settled, although the ABA thinks there may be nearly 10,000. Here's one of those 10,000 federal criminal statutes on the book that you probably never heard about. It's called the Lacey Act. 16 U.S.C. Section 3370 says it's a federal offense for any person to import, export, transport, sell, receive, acquire, or purchase any fish or wildlife or plant taken, possessed, transported, or sold in a violation of any law, treaty, or regulation of the United States or any Indian tribal law or any state or any foreign law. People have been convicted in federal court for violating this statute because they brought back a bony fish from Honduras, not knowing that Honduran law, not American, but Honduran law, forbade the possession of the bony fish. People have been convicted under the List law because they were found in possession of what's called a short lobster, a lobster that's under a certain size. Some states forbid you from possessing a lobster if he's under a certain length. It doesn't matter if he's dead or alive. It doesn't matter if you killed him or if he died of natural causes. It doesn't even matter if you acted in self-defense. Did you know that? Did you know it can be a federal offense to be in possession of a lobster? Admit it. Raise your hand if you did not know that. There's the problem. And that's only one of 10,000 different ways. You know, the government gets pretty upset when people like me instruct the client, people like me and Justice Jackson. Don't talk to the police. Don't answer any questions. But, you know, they can't have it both ways. You people, you've got 10,000 different ways of convicting us. Good for you. But, you know, with the bitter comes to the sweet, with the good comes to the bad. That's 10,000 different ways my client might unknowingly implicate himself in some sort of a criminal transaction. One of the reasons I decided to give this talk, I recently received a phone call from a former student of mine, a regional law school graduate, who may be watching this online. We're putting it on the Internet. And he told me, hey, I've been approached by the Internal Revenue Service. They want to ask me a couple of questions. They ask if I'd be willing to. But they say that I'm not a suspect, and I know in my heart I don't think I've done anything wrong in violation of the Internal Revenue Service provisions. Lord have mercy. There's no man on earth, there's no woman in this country who can honestly say with complete confidence, I know I have never violated any provision of the Internal Revenue Code. He said, but they say I'm not a suspect, and I know I've done nothing wrong. It's okay if I talk to him. I said, no, you tell them you will not talk to them without immunity. I explained to him why that was true, and he never heard from them again. Okay, why you should never talk to the police. Let me just spell it out for you. Let me make it plain to all of you. These are the top 10 reasons. I don't want to actually really lie to you. I don't really have 10. I don't have time for 10. But I've got time for 8, and that'll be close enough. Number 1, and this really ought to be good enough. Contrary to what you laymen instinctively and naturally suppose, it cannot. There's no way it can help you. Plenty of folks think that it can, and they're always wrong. You cannot talk your way out of getting arrested. Officer Brooke, you've interviewed thousands of criminal suspects. How many times in your experience have you approached someone, asked if you could ask them some questions because prior to the interview you had some evidence pointing to his possible guilt? And because of the extraordinary persuasiveness and eloquence with which he articulated his innocence, you said, oh, sorry, never mind. Bank call, my bad, I won't. And he talked you out of arresting him. Never. Never. It never happened. I've often asked other criminal defense attorneys, in all of your experience, have you ever once had a case where you looked back in hindsight and said, thank God my client talked to the police? They laugh at me. They laugh at me. They say, you've got to be kidding me. It cannot help you. You can't talk your way out of getting arrested. And contrary to what you might suppose if you never studied the rules of evidence, what you tell the police, even if it's exculpatory, cannot be used to help you at trial. Because it's what we call hearsay. Under the rules of evidence, specifically Rule 801 D2A, if you want to look it up, everything you tell the police, as the saying goes, can and will be used against you, but it cannot be used against you. From time to time, I've known attorneys who tried to call to the stand a police officer and say, officer, would you tell the jury what my client told you because what my client told him is actually good for my case? If you tried that at trial, the prosecutor will object to that as hearsay, and the judge will agree. The police will not be allowed, at your request, to tell the jury what your client told him. If it helps your case, it cannot help. And that ought to be good enough reason. That ought to be reason enough to keep your mouth shut. But if you're not persuaded, let me go talk about a couple of others. Number 2, obviously one of the most obvious. If your client is guilty, as many of them are, but even if he's not, even if he's innocent, he may well admit his guilt with no benefit in return. Now, of course, many of you are thinking to yourself, well, what's so wrong about that? I mean, shouldn't guilty people be confessing? Confession's good for the soul. It's good for law enforcement. It's good for the prisons. Yes, yeah, sure, all those things are true. And like the rest of you, if I or anyone close to me is ever the victim of some sort of a serious crime, I hope they get the right guy. I hope they convict him. I hope they put him away. We all feel that way. Hey, but what's the rush, friends? You don't got to admit your guilt the first time they come by to meet with you. In federal court, 86% of all defendants plead guilty at some point before trial. If your client is guilty and really ought to punish, and they have go through some sort of a cleansing act of contrition and fess up and admit his guilt, there'll be plenty of time to do that. They almost always do. No need to rush. No need to tell the police something. Wait and see if perhaps your client can work out some sort of an arrangement where maybe he'll make some sort of compensation to the alleged victim, or maybe he'll be able to get some sort of a discount in his sentence, and he'll be treated fairly then, like everybody else who had the benefit of a good lawyer who said, please do not talk to the police. And don't forget, by the way, even if your client only admits things that the police already knew, you might think, well, what harm can it do? He says he wants to talk to the police. All he wants to do is admit that he was there. But the cops know that he was there. All right, go ahead and tell them. Well, how can it hurt? It might hurt if the police officer becomes transferred to Minnesota or deceased or injured or comatose or cannot be located by the time of trial. The case will be dismissed if there's no confession. But if your client admits two things, that confession is freely admissible against him. It can be a basis for getting him convicted all by himself. Then Larry Craig can explain all this to you. The Innocence Project of the United States has confirmed that in more than 25% of all the cases where an innocent man was convicted and then later released from prison after he was exonerated by DNA evidence, in more than a quarter of those cases, these innocent people we know to be innocent, made incriminating statements, delivered outright confessions, or pled guilty. How do they do that? He'll tell us all about it, I trust. Here's a couple of famous examples. You can just ask them. You don't have to take my word for it. There on the left was Eddie Joe Lloyd. He was convicted in 1984 of the murder of a 16-year-old girl in Detroit, after he wrote to police with suggestions on how to solve various recent crimes. During several interviews, police fed details of the crime to Mr. Lloyd, who was mentally ill, and they lied to him and convinced this mentally ill man that by confessing, he might help them smoke out the real killer. He later signed a confession and gave a tape-recorded statement. The jury delivered it less than 1 hour before convicting him on the basis of this confession. There was no other substantial evidence against him. The judge said, I'd hang you if I could, but the death penalty was not available in Michigan at the time. But after almost 2 decades in prison, he was released after DNA evidence proved that this man was innocent and had falsely confessed to a crime that he did not commit. On the right is Earl Washington, who was released from prison just a few years ago here in Virginia. 18 years behind bars after being committed of a rape and a murder that we now know he did not commit after having been exonerated by DNA evidence. But this man, Mr. Washington, who was in fact confirmed to be mentally retarded, was able to confess to several crimes at the request of the police, some of which we know he could not have committed. That's the problem. Some of you are thinking to yourself, well, none of this concerns me. I'm not guilty of anything. I will never represent people who do. Okay. Let's talk to you people. You innocent folks, those of you who have never committed a crime and never will, and none of your clients will either, and you wouldn't go out with a girl who did. Fine. You better not talk to the police either, okay? Because number three, we'll put the guilty behind us. Forget about them. Let's talk about innocent people. Number three, even if your client is innocent and he denies his guilt and almost entirely tells the truth, odds are good he will easily get carried away and tell some little lie or make some little mistake that will hang him. This is human nature. He gets in there, it's a stressful situation. Imagine a perfectly innocent client. The police say he's been guilty of a murder. He's totally innocent as any one of us. So he goes in there and he meets with the police. He says, I don't know what you're talking about. I was nowhere near there. I didn't kill him. I've never killed anybody. I don't have a gun. I've never had a gun. I've never touched a gun in my life. I was nowhere near Virginia Beach that night. That last line was a lie. He went over the top. He was getting carried away. He got into this groove. He started saying all kinds of things, almost all of them true, that he knew would tend to exculpate himself. Then he got carried away and just said one thing that wasn't true, and unfortunately for him, they can prove that it wasn't true. He may be convicted on that basis alone. But let's say, well, that's not a problem. I'll tell my client only to tell the truth. I've met with him. I know he won't lie to the police. He won't make any mistakes. Okay, that's still no guarantee you won't be getting into trouble. Because even if your client is innocent and only tells the truth and doesn't think anything that is false, now, already, mind you, we're pretty well nigh into fantasy land. The odds of this being anybody being able to pull this off are really quite slim, no matter how innocent they may be. But just for the sake, let's pretend. Let's assume he gives the police nothing but the truth, and he is totally innocent. He will always give the police some information that can be used to help convict him. Always. For example, suppose you tell this to the police. Here's what your client tells to the police in his denial of guilt. I don't know what you're talking about. I didn't kill Jones. I don't know who did. I wasn't anywhere near that place. I don't have a gun. I've never owned a gun in my life. I don't even know how to use a gun. Yeah, sure, I never liked the guy, but who did? I wouldn't kill him. I've never hurt anybody in my life, and I would never do such a thing.
This is basically what he's telling you is what this video right here is. It's how to interact with the cops.
Howdy.
Hey, how you doing?
Well, how you doing?
What's going on?
You
just
fired
him?
Yeah.
Just
want to let you know I'm filming right now.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
What?
Just...
I mean, we're getting complaints from
school. Okay, yeah, we can move. We were going to roll out to... my buddies work from Starbucks over there, and we just didn't have... I want to let you know I'm filming. My buddy's working from Starbucks, and we didn't find any parking over there, so we thought we'd be here. But we're going to leave around 1 or 1:30.
1:00.
Yeah, pretty quick. Okay, but is it okay if we stay here until about 1?
Well, I'll check this out. I mean, it's
okay.
About,
Okay. All right, thank you.
This guy's not too bright. He came out of his house with a camera. He was filming. And he's walking around the police cars right now. Parked in a motorhome in the parking lot, and they told me I had to leave because somebody complained they had parking spots.
Okay. Oh, goodness, for all this information.
Go ahead. You wanted to say?
I'm sorry, I got...
You fall asleep, Mommy?
No, I had to change and get in my pajamas, and I didn't want to tell you where I had to go.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just had the phone up to my ear, and I fell asleep, and you woke me up with this. yeah, well, you know, what can I tell you? I'm an old lady.
It's okay.
Past my
no,
bedtime.
It's not you. Phil was just boring, you know?
No,
sometimes.
Phil's not boring. No, no, that's not it at all.
It's okay. It happens.
It's just that I did about 6 loads of washing today, but you got to understand, the washer and dryer is in the cellar,
mm-hmm.
So I have to go down and then come up and go 2 flights of stairs to bring the clothes up. So.
So I have up and down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just kind of wiped me out.
It's okay. And plus, you're an hour ahead of me, so, yeah.
Did Bill stop in tonight?
No, Bill, I saw Bill the other day, and I talked to him earlier today, and he's shooting for next week.
Oh, okay.
Actually, went on. He rode his bike yesterday, and he rode his bike today.
Oh, that's good. Oh, I'll tell you, these cops got every angle, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
They try, you know, and they can get through with people that don't know what they're doing.
Well, that's why it's so important that people
are aware.
Yeah, aware of it, you know. I just start crying, and that usually upsets them. Lady, please, don't cry.
Well, you should have tried that, and you wouldn't have got the ticket, maybe.
Yeah, but he come up upon me so fast. You know. Woman in the Malibu, please pull over.
Wow.
That's crazy.
I know. What are you going to do, though? Nothing too
you
much
you could have
can
outran
do.
Him. No, just kidding.
Oh, yeah. Can you see me being arrested? Grandmother being chased down by police. You know.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Did Karma send you that stuff?
I didn't see it.
Too much. I've called him 3 times.
Mm-hmm. No, I didn't
return that. That he's a nice guy.
Yeah, he didn't do his show last night either.
No, I know it. I called in. I had a meeting I had to go to last night, so I didn't get back until about 10:15. I called in. There was no show.
Right.
So I called him, you know, on his cell phone, but there was no answer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just leave your message, and I did.
Yeah. But, yeah, it's, you know, it's if you don't know what you know, you're going to get close.
Yeah. Too bad.
What's going on?
Nothing much. I'm returning to Florida the 31st.
Mm-hmm. You flying or driving?
No, I'm flying. Do you know that they wanted $500 right after Christmas? One way. So he got me a ticket out the 31st. New Year's Eve for 180. So that wasn't bad, you know.
Yeah. No, it's like we got 22 minutes left. Anybody got a burning desire?
Burning desire? What can we talk about?
Oh, there's so much.
How about sex?
Oh, here we go.
Oh, okay. Well, oh, by the way, so, you know, don't worry, next time when you tell me what I need, my best advice for myself is not to post it out there. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, I can't even toss it. Never mind, out there. My back will go out. You know. See what happens when you get old.
I don't know.
I used to be a
diva.
I used to be a diva. Yes, I am. But I look pretty goddamn good for being old. You know.
Phil's older than we are.
Phil's not older than we are.
Well, he's older than me.
And smarter, too.
See that?
Okay. Keep it up.
Well, getting back to sex now. What is it like?
I don't know. I can't tell you. But Phil probably could. I don't know. Well, who do we have in the chat room tonight? Maybe they could, you know, inspire us on what it's like.
Well, Art's in there.
Hi, Art. Hey, Craig.
Well, no, you got to get with it, you know. You got to go have a little sex, you know.
Yeah, you know, that's easier said than done, you know. You actually have to have another person for that, you know.
No, you can use some of that biker lube.
Oh, my God, I gave some to friends of mine. They're like, what the hell is this? They thought it was for their bikes. And when I told them, they're looking at me very strange. I'm like, what? You know, I don't see what the problem is. And, you know, one was like, no, I don't need this. And I told the other one, I said, here, try some and let me know how it is. And he looked at me like I was an alien or something.
Well, I used to blow men's mind, you know, years ago. We used to go to this place called the Log Cabin, you know, on a Friday night. And,
right.
Take
notes, Phil.
Take notes now. So anyways, there was this one particular night, my mother was with us, God rest her soul, and my sisters, and this guy was leaning up against this fireplace that they had in the log cabin. And he kept staring and staring and staring over, you know, at me. So I goes over to him and I says, I know you really want to have sex, but do you want to dance first? And he goes, hey, you read minds too?
Oh, man.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot that could be said on that.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's true. I'd rather dance than have sex, you know, so.
I don't know. I, you know, my dancing is like rusty, you know, but.
How about you, Phil?
I plead the fifth.
You plead
the fifth?
Yeah, you plead
the fifth.
Now,
chicken.
Be honest, can you dance?
Yeah.
Okay. So, what would make you feel much better, dancing or having sex? You know, that's not a loaded
definitely
question.
Definitely having sex. But slow dancing is cool. But, yeah, definitely having sex would be better.
Really? Well,
yeah.
I don't know. You know, for like 50-some-odd years, you know, I had a lot of sex. And
yeah.
To me, that's only a 30-second thing, you know?
Yeah, there's a lot of men out there that are like that. I will say that. And it's like, okay, wow, thank you.
Men are lucky, though. You know that? Because they have two heads.
Yeah, well,
yeah.
Bill and I have a friend we call Two Pump.
Oh, do you? And they only think with one.
Yep. And it's the one in their dockers.
Did you know that Jane Fonda is going to play Nancy Reagan?
Really? That should be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know.
I don't know. You know, one day I hope to have, like, you know, a willing partner, but, you know, at this point, it's not looking promising.
I remember when my son was going to leave his wife, you know. And now he called me. He says, you know, Ma, he says, it's getting old. I said, oh, really? He says, yeah. I said, oh. I says, I don't want to know. Just answer this question yourself. I don't want to know the answer. I says, but if you've gone to bed with another woman, I hope you know you've gone to bed with about 500. And he goes, what are you talking about? I says, well, how old are you, Mark? And he says, I think he was 36 at the time. I says, just answer yourself. Don't answer me. How many women have you gone to bed with before you got married? And he goes, a few. Oh. And how many of those women do you think had sex with several other different partners? He goes, I don't know. I says, well, keep adding it up, because by the time you get done, it's like 500 people you're going to bed with.
Well, yeah. See, that's the scary part of today's society.
Right, you know.
You know. And I don't care. Phil can tease me all day long and say whatever he wants to say. I don't care, you know. And Art, I love him to pieces. But, you know, he seems to think that, you know, I just can get anybody. No, it doesn't work that way. You know, I don't know. I don't look, you know, one day it may happen, one day it won't. If not, at least I know one thing, at least for myself. I'm not... I'm not infecting myself.
Right. You know, it's... And I know
that
kind of says... It's like a cliche, you know. How do you say it? Cliche. But the one thing
cliche.
That would...
Yeah.
Cliche, right.
Mm-hmm.
Would upset me is if I ever found out my husband was involved with another woman. Because there'd be no turning back. That would be it.
Oh, you know what? That's all I've ever known. And so I look at the male population as, you know, yeah, okay. Keep talking your crap. You know, when they sit there, oh, I'll never do anything to hurt you. That makes me run.
Right. But I'm just saying that maybe because I'm old-fashioned, that would be the last straw. Yeah,
no. Eunice, there's someone else you can ask that question to. Go ahead. Ask Stacy how she feels about that.
No.
Okay,
I'm out of commission when it comes to... I don't talk.
What do you mean? Come on.
No. I got too much... I got things to do than worry about that stuff.
Well, you know what? Phil had no problem telling me I need to get laid. And it's like, yeah, okay, you need a partner for that. At least
you know,
have some kind of enjoyment.
I have my semester. I dust off the cobwebs, you know. It's all good.
Yeah, at least with toys, you can take them off the shelf and put them back out on the shelf when you're done, you know.
I just, sorry I didn't get here earlier, but my son had his belt ceremony. He broke two boards tonight, and, that was the first time they had somebody, like, new being able to break two boards, and he was just a powerhouse. So,
congratulations.
Thank you. And then I went out afterwards because my friend was waiting for me with a big lobster, so I had to go oblige her.
Oh, I know.
Had some.
That looks so yummy.
It was. The thing is, her friend is a fisherman, you know, right here out of New Bedford. And they go out, and that's his deal. He does the lobster, and then he showed up at her door, I think it was yesterday, and he handed her 8 of those big bad boys. And he was like, here you go, I'll be back later. And that was it.
That was amazing.
It's a good deal when you get a phone call from your friend and they tell you, come to my house and have a lobster. You go. You go.
Yeah.
Well,
oh, yeah, definitely.
Yep. So, you know, the lobster was good. My son was even better, and it's been a good evening. And I've got his first two puts. that he broke because the sensei has them write things on the board why they're breaking the board, and he was breaking the board for his mom. So I was just tickled over that, and he did it too. He nailed it too. I got the videos up on my Facebook page.
I saw that. I'm so proud of him.
Yeah, yep.
For being so early in it.
He was so funny. After he broke the boards, he just kind of stood there and they put both arms up in the air, and all I could think of was the end of the Rocky movies.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think he thought his calling.
Yeah. It's okay, you know.
Yes, he still hasn't answered any of our sex questions. He only sits back there and laughs.
Yeah, he laughs.
Man.
And?
My show.
His show.
Yeah,
that is his show.
But Stacy, when he goes to Alicia's show and when we've gone on there together, you should see how he talks. Holy crap.
The shame.
I know. He's a closet person.
Thanks, Phil.
He's doing good.
Yeah.
He's been riding the last couple of days.
You next time you see him, you give him a great big kiss and hug from me.
Yes, from all of us.
But I won't give him a kiss.
I think people will start talking if Phil starts kissing Bill.
You can give Bill a big kiss on the cheek for me. He'll be cool with that.
Hey, I've seen guys do that.
Just tell him, say, here, this comes from Massachusetts. He'll be cool.
Yeah. Well, it's two from Massachusetts and one from Chi-Town. Yep.
There you go.
Have you called him yet?
I don't have his number.
What do you mean you don't have his number?
Well, that's the only number I know of is to the bike shop.
That's the number?
Yeah, well, I don't disturb anybody at work, dude. That's not my game. I don't
trust
do that.
Me, he's above the door in his office, there's a doctor to schmoozology.
Are you kidding me?
he's got a certificate for schmoozology above the door in his office.
All right. I'll try to give him a quick call over at the shop. But I don't like doing that to people. I'm not all about, you know, getting in their workspace and stuff like that.
Now, Monday he'll be there full time, but the what he said, guarding nothing happens, but he's usually there from 1 to 4.
Or
on Sunday from 10 to 2.
10 to 2. All right. I will see what I can do to give that man a call. And if he yells at me for calling the shop during business hours, Phil, you're going to get it.
Yeah.
No, he don't.
We have friends. And they have friends.
And I got a son that can break boards, so look out.
Yeah.
Hey.
Well, guys, the bathroom is calling me. I know you didn't want to hear that, but if I disappeared, you know, you'd be saying, where did she go now?
No.
Okay.
Just be listening for some snoring.
Yeah.
So good night to all.
Good night, Eunice.
And all a good night. And I'll talk to you Tuesday.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Have a good weekend, right. Guys.
You
have
too.
Have a good night.
Yes, I'm having a dinner friend over on Saturday. Mm-hmm.
Nice.
He is a very tall, tall person. I'm gonna feel like 2 inches.
What are you making?
Feel 2 inches.
What? Okay, wait.
Oh my god.
No? Okay, remember who tells you and wants you in the middle of pictures? They like to have you in the middle. The person that is my friend that's coming here for dinner is the same size.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And?
I'm nervous.
Well, I'll tell you what, your cooking better be on its game.
let me tell you this. You know, he never gets home cooked meals, just like our mutual friend that come when he comes into town. So he doesn't care what it is. He'll eat anything, and he's just excited because he's going to be leaving here with a loaf of banana bread, homemade banana bread. He's a happy camper.
Are you talking about Michael?
No.
Oh, all right, because he's a big boy, too.
Yeah. Oh, he eats a lot, too. I've had him over for dinner many a times. But, no, this one is 6'5", 250 pounds.
Ooh. Wow.
I know. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to be like 2 inches compared to you. Poof.
So did y'all see the finale for SOA?
Yes, I did. Unbelievable, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was tripped out. I was like, oh, my goodness.
I know. I can't wait until next season.
No doubt.
A friend of mine just went and did all the seasons, all 5 seasons for me on disc. And
wow,
nice. Popping it in the mail on this weekend. That's going to be exciting. So, yeah, anyways, yeah, so I'm going to be doing some ass cooking and baking.
Yo, what?
I'll be doing some mad ass cooking and baking.
Oh, I thought you said after this weekend you're going to turn vegan. I was like, what? Sorry.
It's okay. No, not going vegan.
Don't ask me how I heard that, but that's what registered in my brain. I'm like, what is
it? It's okay. It's okay. I gotta wait until tomorrow to get these antibiotics for this darn cold I have. It's not contagious to anyone, you know, but it's just an annoyance, obviously. I did put a recent photo up of my handsome little grandson, so you can see. I just took it at a different angle, you know.
Yeah.
But
He's beautiful. That baby's
beautiful. He is such a good baby. Oh, my God. I could sit there and hold him all day long and not get tired of it.
Yeah. I've yet to hold my granddaughter. She's supposed to come down in March. So
yeah,
that'll be time.
Well, he, like, with my grandson, he's dark like my daughter and I. He has, like, really dark hair like us and everything, and it's like, oh, my God, he's just, I love watching him sleep. You know, it's like it reminds you of your own. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Oh, that's
a joy.
I just looked at the picture. That's a cute picture. It looks
awesome. I will keep you updated on what's going on.
Right.
I will. At the end of it. I'm going to do
this.
Yeah,
and no sex talk from Phil. Oh, he pleaded the fifth.
My phone's about to die, so I'm saying goodnight, everybody. God bless.
Yeah, goodnight. God bless you.
And
all of you, big hugs.
All right, later.
Okay, have a good night.
Bye-bye.
Bye.